Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning, church. Welcome to worship, either in person or if you're joining us online. Welcome to First United Methodist in our Brighton campus. I am Pastor Lindsay, and it's a good joy to be with you in worship today. A special greetings and a warm welcome to those who are visiting with us for the first time, or if you're just kind of visiting with us for a few times, we're so glad to have you in worship today. It's a real treat today in worship to have our choir singing and leading us in songs of praise under the direction of Susan Kimball. Thank you, choir, for leading us in songs. And it's wonderful to have Bill Drabing and Randy Clausen helping us lead in worship. And we have a wonderful stewardship testimony coming up in just a few moments by two young people of our congregation that are doing incredible things. We look forward to connecting with you, not only on Sunday mornings, but throughout the weekday. And so one way you can help connect and get involved here at our church is by filling out that little connection card that you maybe received on the way in. You can also fill it out online to our online campus. And note, we would like to note that you are here and any ways you would like to get connected, as well as some updated contact information if you have that for us. So I'd encourage you to fill that out when you have a moment. Well, let's center ourselves in a time of prayer. Let's celebrate in times of praise. And so now I'd invite you to stand as you feel comfortable as we sing and praise God together.
Please join me in the opening prayer. Lord and Savior, bring your Spirit upon us and worship today. Show us your dreams and visions for your people and your church. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.
Oh,
It's a special joy to be inviting forward Amelia and Penny Calvin. Come on forward, girls. So Amelia is in fifth grade, and Penny is in third grade. And ladies, I was curious, could you share with me a little bit, what is something that you love most about our church? Your family has been worshiping with us for just over a year now, I believe. What's something you love about our church?
I love that there is women in leadership, and I like to see that you and Pastor John working together as a team.
Oh, that's awesome. Thanks, Penny.
I like that you don't have to audition for anything here. If you have a passion, there's a place for you.
There certainly is a passion. If you have a passion, there is a place for you. Absolutely. And we do. We welcome everybody to be a part of serving in leadership, whether you're in third grade or you're 103, whether you're a woman or a man, we welcome you, and we're so glad that you're a part of our church community. So I understand that you both have a particular mission, a project that you're really passionate about. Would you be willing to share with us what that mission, what that project is, that cause that you're passionate about?
So over the past 2 years, there's been wildfires in Australia. If this was one of Australia's biggest islands, also known as Kangaroo Island, all the areas that's colored in are areas that have been wiped out by wildfires. So me and my sister are selling bracelets, necklaces, etc., all homemade. And you can buy them for your own price. You get to choose, or just leave a donation that will help Australia.
So all of it will go to support the wildfires in Australia. Yep. I think that's absolutely wonderful. Is there somebody that it's really inspired you in your faith journey that's made you want to be a part of great work and projects like this?
My mom, my dad, and my sister all helped me.
They've all helped you, and they've all inspired you in the faith. Well, I can just see such a great, generous, and loving heart in both of you ladies. And so we want to extend an invitation to the congregation to help support this mission project and this work of addressing the wildfires in Australia. And so Penny and Amelia, you'll be outside in the community room, right, after church. If you want to support this, and the bracelets and the necklaces, they don't have a price on it, right? That's what you shared.
Nope.
So we would encourage you to help support this mission project of Penny and Amelia, and we're so glad to hear from you. So glad you're part of our church community. Thanks, girls. There is such generous spirits in this church community, from our youngest third graders and fifth graders to older folks in the congregation, and there is a place for you. The Calvins have been worshiping with us for just over a year, and we're so glad that they're a part of our church home, and so glad to get them connected and involved in serving in leadership. So thanks, ladies. Glad to have you, and you're leading the way on this wildlife project.
While you're hearing the scripture reading this morning, like we talked about, those girls talked about having a passion. If you feel you have a passion for missions, my name is Bill Drabing. I'm head of missions at this church, and I'll put you in touch with someone who has that mission going on, or we'll help you start one here. Because it doesn't matter, like Lindsay said, it doesn't matter if you're in the third grade or 103, is that this church acts. That's what we do. So this morning's scripture reading is taken from the book of Luke, chapter 10, verses 25 to 37. Just then, a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him, bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, "Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend." Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robber? He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks, Bill, for reading the gospel lesson for us this morning. Congregation, I'd invite you to join me in a time of prayer. Let's pray. Loving and gracious God, we give you thanks for this time of worship. We give you thanks for drawing us together to pray, to study your scriptures, to sing praises to you, to enjoy fellowship with one another. Lord, sometimes your word comes to us in a still, small voice that speaks to us very quietly in the hush of silence. And other times, Lord, you come to us and speak to us in a roaring thunder, in a loud voice that we hear very clearly. So this morning, whether we hear you and feel you in a still, small voice or a roaring Lord voice, be with us and be present. Fix our minds upon those things above and upon you. And Lord, as we hear the scripture, may our ears be open and may our hearts be ready to receive and may we be moved to action. Loving God, bless the reading and the hearing of this scripture. And now, Lord, may the words of my mouth, may the meditations of our hearts, may it be pleasing in your sight, you God, who are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This is our 3rd week of our stewardship campaign, our talking about generosity, extravagant generosity. And on the 1st week, we encourage you to take those little yellow cards on the way into worship and think about what are those things you love about your church community, and we posted them on the sunflowers. Last week, we thought about who are those people that have inspired you in your faith, those spiritual mentors, and again, we filled that out and we posted them on the sunflowers. Today, we'll have a 3rd question for you to think about. What vision, what dream, what hope do you have for our church community? And again, we'll encourage you to fill those out and post those on the sunflowers. It's been fun, if maybe you've done this too, to go through and read people's responses and get an idea of what they love about the church and who those mentors are. And now we'll get to see some different dreams, some different visions, some different hopes for our church community. Well, thank you again, Bill, for reading the gospel lesson for us. When we opened up this scripture passage, as we dive into it, the scripture lesson begins this morning with Jesus and a lawyer, and they're in dialogue together. The dialogue goes as follows, as you just heard it, and the lawyer is trying to get a clear picture. He's trying to understand a clear vision of what it looks like to inherit eternal life. And he's also asking this question to try to, you know, maybe test Jesus a little bit. And asking what he must do, Jesus asks him a question and points him towards the law. And the lawyer answers and says, "This is what's required of him. You should love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, with all of your mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus responds affirmatively, "Yes, that is the clear picture. That's the vision to which we're called. Love the Lord your God with your heart, with your soul, with your strength, with your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." Well, just after this clear vision is articulated, the lawyer then wants to test and go a little bit further. He wants to have a dig a little bit deeper. He wants to identify now exactly who is my neighbor that I'm called to love. So that in that moment, that's when the parable starts. Jesus starts this parable about an injured man and a good Samaritan who comes to be at his aid. And perhaps as we've thought about this story before, whether it's in a small group Bible study or in worship service, perhaps as we've thought about this passage before, often we hear it and we focus upon the good nature and the good works of the Samaritan. We think about the good works that it does and the call to be a part of mission work, and certainly we can glean that from this passage. That's how we, I think, how we get the nickname of the Good Samaritan there. An individual was focused upon some good deeds there, but this morning I would encourage us to think about this parable from the extravagant generosity that's on display. And when we read the scripture, when we read verses 34 and 35, we get a grand vision, a grand idea of what this extravagant generosity was that the Samaritan illustrated and displayed. It says, he went to him and he bandaged his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them, and he put him on his own animal and brought him to an inn to take care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave it to the innkeeper and said, take care of him, and when I come back, I'll repay you any more that you spend. When we hear this scripture, when we dive into it, we catch these various ways that generosity is on display, from taking time, the very precious resource of time, to stop and help the injured man, whereas the priest and the Levite just kind of whistled along their way down the road. They didn't stop, but the Samaritan offered his time. And the Samaritan was extravagantly generous with his resources, bandaging him and using kind of the old ancient antiseptic methods of pouring oil and wine on his wounds and using his very own animal to transport him to a good place of care and rest. And then that Samaritan was even then financially generous. He took out those 2 denarii coins and paid the innkeeper, but was willing to go beyond that if the bill should be greater than just the 2 denarii, and he was generous in that way as well. What's really beautiful about this story, though, is the Good Samaritan was generous with time and resources and finances, but it's really beautiful to think that they didn't know each other prior to that day. That Samaritan just kind of stumbled upon this man who was in need, and just out of this generous, loving heart, he just gave naturally. The man on the side of the road wasn't somebody that he knew. It wasn't a family member. It wasn't necessarily a friend. It was just a complete stranger. And generosity, it just came from his heart. Well, after Jesus is done telling this parable, the conversation turns back to this dialogue between him and the lawyer, and Jesus asks the lawyer, he says, so which of these three, the Samaritan, the Levite, or the priest, which of these three do you think was the neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? Of course, the lawyer was smart. He knew the answer. The one that showed mercy, isn't it? Yes, Jesus says, go and do likewise. So Jesus gave this clear vision as he's having this conversation with the disciple, with the lawyer there. He gave this clear vision, this clear picture of what it means and what it looks like to respond with extravagant generosity as followers of Jesus Christ. The vision is clear. We're to show mercy to our neighbors. We're to live out the work of God, just like that Samaritan did. We're to love the Lord our God with our heart, with our soul, with our strength, with our mind, and to love our neighbor as ourself. And so from Jesus, we get this clear vision, this clear picture of what it means to be the church in the world today, to love God, to love neighbor, to generously share of our time and our talents and our financial gifts. And so that vision is cast clear. Now, if you're a photographer, when you look into the lens, you can see something, but sometimes you need to, you know, adjust it. Just tweak a little bit so something that's a little fuzzy becomes a little bit sharper of an image. And so the specifics of this vision, what it could look like, could come into focus just a little bit more. But the vision is cast clear for us when we dive into those scriptures. So what's vision? The vision, the picture of the future to which God is calling us, you know, that vision, it can change over time, and it's revealed often in God's timing, and it asks us to trust God and to faithfully step out. Vision asks us to think not only of our own selves, but to imagine something that's sometimes even unimaginable. And to do it all by being guided through prayer. And vision, it calls us to stretch, and it calls us to grow, and it calls us to do not what's always just easy or convenient. For the Samaritan, it wasn't necessarily easy what he did. It wasn't necessarily convenient. The priest and the Levite, they took the easy, convenient way, but he was stretched and he grew and he did the right thing when the time was asked of him. And that vision that calls us to be generous with our hearts and our minds and our souls and our time and our passion and our finance and to give above and beyond. And I believe God's calling us to vision for the future. I don't know about you, but over the past year and a half, the pandemic kind of knocked us off our feet a little bit, hasn't it? It's been kind of hard to envision and really know what to expect, you know, one week after the next, or to really know what's coming up 6 months from now. But I believe God is calling us to vision for the future, discern to be what's coming up next. And I think through centering ourselves through prayer, by being guided through the Holy Spirit, God's asking us in this time, in this space, as a community of faith, to lean in to what God's calling us to do next. And when I look at the future, I see a future filled with imagination, a future filled with hope, and as seeking God's wisdom and direction, I see a bright future ahead. The specifics of what that vision might be, we can continue to focus in and discern what that is. But I believe that God is calling us into this vision of being these good Samaritan people who are focused on loving God and loving neighbor and focused on putting others first. Now, the beauty of this parable is that we might find ourselves identifying with various characters throughout different stages and times and seasons in our own lives. Sometimes we feel like we're like the injured person sitting on the side of the road. Sometimes we do feel like we're stepping into the Good Samaritan's shoes where we have the ability to stop and help and offer financial assistance. Sometimes we identify with that innkeeper. A delightful surprise, someone's come into our inn and we have the ability to care for them. But whatever, wherever we find ourselves in the story, I hope that we are moving away from that priest and that Levite character who was too quickly to walk by and not think about the needs of someone else. Because I believe that Jesus is calling us to live into that role of the Good Samaritan, loving God and loving neighbor with heart, mind, soul, and strength. And I believe that God is calling us into be a vision of a community that's grounded in our faith and very focused on living out Mark 10:27. Love Luke 10:27. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, with all of your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's what I believe God's calling us to live into even more fully. What are your visions and your hopes for the future of this church? When you think about loving God and loving neighbor, and if you were to focus that a little bit more fully, what does that look like for you? As you imagine a future, what are the disciples in this community? How are we engaged in the greater community and around the world? What does that look like? I'm excited to read about it on your yellow cards. I'm excited to have some people emailing me or giving me a phone call. I'm excited to sit down with you over coffee. What are your dreams and hopes for the future of this church? When we look at the future, I imagine a congregation of generous disciples at work. I think serving God and loving neighbor is certainly from a generous spirit. And as we've been talking about generosity this past 3 weeks in worship, we've been planning for the future. Maybe in your mailbox, even when mail is a little slow these days, maybe in your mailbox you received an estimate of giving card. It looks something like this, a little slip of paper here. And we're asking you, encouraging you to take out those estimate of giving cards. And the estimate of giving cards become an estimate of what you might give to the church and service to God and loving neighbor over the next year. It's an opportunity for you to prayerfully discern how you get to step up and be like that good Samaritan, how you're going to offer your gifts. On the back of the Estimate of Giving card, there's a giving table, and you can look through and think about, have some financial conversations within your own family, and you can fill it out, and we'd encourage you to turn that in to the church within this next week. How is God calling you to stretch and to grow? How is God calling you to serve? Amen. It's so good to have little ones in our church community. Oh, my goodness. How is God calling you to serve our youngest disciples and impact their little worlds around us? Maybe this year you've been able to put $5 in the offering plate every month. Maybe God is calling you to stretch and grow that to $10. Or maybe you've been able to give $100 every month. Maybe you can stretch and grow even farther. Maybe your family has been able to give 3% of their income. Maybe you could stretch and grow that to 4% this year. Maybe you give a biblical tithe of 10%, and that's been aching at your heart to step up and do that. Maybe you can grow to that biblical tithe of 10% or beyond. Wherever you're at on your giving journey, thank you. Thank you for sharing your goodness, the gifts you've received back to God through the church. Thank you for being generous. Thank you for being the hands, the presence of Christ here on this earth. And thank you. Thank you for your witness in this world. You know, I came into church this morning with just a joyful heart, just feeling good this morning, feeling incredibly thankful, knowing that my kids were excited to head to Sunday school. My son was excited to head to Sunday school. My daughter, unfortunately, is homesick, but my son was excited to head into Sunday school, and trunk or treat's happening later this week, and I was excited to hear what the choir might be singing for us and leading us in worship. I was excited to hear what Penny and Amelia might share about their mission project. God is doing amazing, wonderful, great things in this church community. I'm excited for all that God has in store. And so when I look to the future, I see it filled with hope. I see disciples busy loving God and serving one another. I see us making an impact on this church community here in the walls, but outside the walls and beyond. When you look to the future, what is your vision? What is your hope? What is your dream that you see? I think that together, giving and serving and loving one another, I'm excited to see what God has in store. Amen. Let's pray. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. We can feel his mighty power and his grace. Fill us, loving God, with your wisdom and your vision. Help us to lean into how you're calling us to make disciples and transform this world. Help us to lean in to see how, God, you're calling us to be good Samaritans in this world. Help us, God, to have clarity of heart and clarity of mind. I thank you for the generous nature and the spirit of this congregation. I thank you, Lord, for your grace that never ends and your love that always sustains. Through Christ's holy and precious name we pray. Amen.
I'm Randy Clausen, a relatively new member here at Brighton. I relocated to be closer to my son and daughter-in-law. They wanted me closer for my old age. They have started a farm just north of Howell. In fact, they're out in the cold right now at the farmer's market in Howell. But it is so great to be 9 miles from them instead of 234. I had spent 35 years in Traverse City. And while I was there, I studied and became a certified lay minister, and I was working with the Northern Waters District there and coordinating the peace with justice in activities. Since I turned 70, God used travel to give me some new visions. I was in Africa 2 times, and one of them with the United Methodist Women's Ubuntu Journey. I went through with Junior Board of Global Ministries. I spent 4 trips to the Middle East, ending up spending 10 months there. And I have had 4 trips to the Mexican border and 12 months serving refugees and asylum seekers there. New visions for my old age, for sure. Now, when I came to Howell, I thought I needed to find a church, and so I did some internet searching and praying, and God has graciously turned my thoughts and desires to Brighton First United Methodist. Reverend John and Reverend Lindsay said, I need a place where I can serve, and they assured me that there would be a place at Brighton where I could serve. But praise God with me, because there's a new ministry at Brighton, and that is a church and society committee forming here. And this ministry will add justice to the everyday lives of those in our congregation and community. Now you can be a part of that and join this adventure of education, action, and advocacy. You know, as a new member of this church, I enjoyed the part of the service that is the blessing of the quilts. This is one experience that draws us all together in love. Because of the love and hands that brought these many pieces together, our blessing as a congregation is to be able to pray God's blessing on those who created the quilts and those that are receiving them. Today, those receiving the quilts will be Kaylin Barrett, grandson of Mike Barrett, and Karen Giles, mother and grandmother of the Calvin family that you met this morning. Please raise your hands in blessing towards these quilts. God, we raise our hands asking your blessing on those who will receive these quilts. Thank you that these quilts represent this congregation's answer to love and care for others. Bless all who served in their production and those who will tie knots today and say prayers. Bless each step of this giving process. As the recipients wrap themselves in these quilts, may they, their family, and their friends realize the comfort of being wrapped in the love of God. Thank you for the joy of showing your love to others. In Jesus' name, amen. With our attitudes of surrender to God, we continue our praise and prayers. Praise you, God, that you are allowing us to gather here in Christ. Thank you that you have given us this opportunity to focus on your extravagant generosity to us. As we worship today, we ask for clarity in our minds and emotions. Help us, moment by moment, take responsibility for our thinking and acting. Praise you that your love shines to us and then through us. Help us choose actions that will show your love in each circumstance that we experience. Thank you, God, that the Holy Spirit is provided to remind us of your extravagant generosity. Help us stay awake to your generous love being lavished on us moment by moment. We praise you, God, that purpose and meaning is created in our lives as we make choices according to your will. Praise you for the privilege that we have to be the hands and feet of Jesus on earth. We sharpen our Jesus focus so that we have a clear vision for the choices that will further your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Guard our hearts and minds, God, as we respond to the ongoing issues of the COVID-19 pandemic. May those who have suffered loss experience your care and comfort through our prayers and our actions. We hold in your light of love those currently experiencing health needs. Comfort their bodies, hearts, and minds. We pray for many in our country who cannot afford proper medical care. Reveal your wisdom for our choices. We pray also for those who are dying from medical issues because treatments have not been made available around the world. Help us realize and take the next steps in your love. Let our minds, hands, and feet represent Jesus as we walk the medical path with all those who are suffering health issues. We hold up to you the many who are feeling the economic crunch in our systems. We pray for those who are working multiple jobs and yet do not have enough for daily living. We pray for those who are physically unable to work. Help us create your economic justice for their lives. We also remember and pray for the multiple millions of people who live in extreme poverty. Teach us economic choices that will reflect your intent, God, of abundance for all. Help us live into Jesus' redefinition of family as those who do God's will. Help us as family here love and seek to do the will of God. Give us your spirit of family as we do the work that you have called us to do. We praise you, God, for our society. We pray for our leaders. Fill us with your wisdom and reveal to us our essential actions to help the decision makers realize God's intent. Help us to take part in communities by removing obstacles for those who suffer injustice. Show us your next step for our responsible actions. Now, in silence, we raise our individual praise and prayers to God. In Christ, we are invited to pray, and God promises to hear us. Now, let's pray together the prayer that Jesus taught disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you, Randy, for leading us in prayer. Thank you for praying. praying for our church community. There's many ways to serve and many ways to get involved and many opportunities for you to be the hands and feet of Christ in this church community. So very thankful for the numerous ways that you serve. And I invite the ushers now to come forward that we might serve God through our financial gifts. Thank you, choir, for leading us in songs of praise at this time.
Generous God, in you all things exist. We thank and praise you for all you have created and continue to create. Show us dreams and visions of what you desire for your church. Use these offerings to bring the kingdom you desire to earth. Amen.
Church, as we leave this time of worship, just a couple of announcements I want to lift up. Today is trunk or treat. It has now become table or treat. The weather is supposed to rain later this afternoon, so we've moved the event inside into the community room so you can join us for table or treat at 4 o'clock here at our Brighton campus or inside at 2 o'clock at our Whitmore Lake campus. A warm, open invitation to our children, and if you'd like to come by and celebrate table or treat, I invite you to do that. I also encourage you to stop by and say hello to Penny and Amelia on your way out the door to learn about their passion for supporting the wildlife there because of the wildfires in Australia. So now this day, church, may we go forth with the love of God in our hearts, ready to serve God and neighbor in all that we do. May the peace of Christ be with you this day. Amen.
are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.